You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1998 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the Sunday Memorial Service exhortation given by Brother Paul Elliott, titled, Building a Sanctuary for God.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. I have a difficult job tonight and to try and take your mind off the heat for a few minutes, and I'll do my best. Turn with me to begin to Psalm 56. Here in Psalm 56 and in this group of Psalms, we find David being very eloquent, describing his feelings of frustration and despair. And if we take a look at Psalm 56, verse 1, wonder if we ever feel like this, where the psalmist says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." And then in the next psalm, Psalm 57, verse 4, he says, "My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword." Well, I'm sure at some time or another, all of us feel this way to one degree or another, some more often than others. So where did David go for help when he felt this way? Well, in Psalm 57, you go back to verse 1, and he says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." David went to God. He went into the shadows of the wing of the Almighty God for his comfort and for support and for refuge. Well, we all need a refuge at times, a sanctuary. We need a place where we can go. And I think we can take a lesson from David and see how he went to God for comfort and strength, for a boost of his spirit when he needed it, when he felt surrounded by enemies, when his life was in danger, where he felt he had no friends, he had nowhere to go. He goes to God, and he takes refuge in his wings until the storm is over. So the question is, how can we take spiritual refuge under the wings of the Almighty when we feel surrounded by our enemies and we feel hurt and we feel alone? Well, it would be wonderful if we had a place where we could go to, a sanctuary, a place of rest, a place of safety and a security from the storm around us, a place where God dwells, where we can commune with our Creator, where we can get recharged, where we can be strengthened, where we can be comforted until all of our calamities be passed. Well, there's good news. You know, we have a sanctuary available to us. It's still under construction, but we have a sanctuary where we can go for refuge, a place where God dwells and we can take refuge under his wings. And this week at Manuka, I think many of us have come here as a sanctuary, as a retreat, as a refuge for us in a sense. But in a larger sense, it's the brotherhood that is a sanctuary to us. You know, a network of people who share common values, a network of people who are God's children and where the Spirit of God dwells. We have a brotherhood available to us as a sanctuary. So the exhortation this evening is for us to work together as laborers to continue construction on this sanctuary, continue building a dwelling place where God can dwell and we can all find refuge from the storm around us whenever those storms occur. You know, where we can have a place where we can find the Lord and be comforted and be secure and be accepted no matter who we are or what errors, what mistakes we have made. A place where we can be loved. A place where we can grow in faith and a place where we can worship God and praise Him. So the exhortation is to build a real sanctuary, a spiritual refuge, a dwelling place for us and a dwelling place for God. and for us to make this week at Manuka a spiritual sanctuary. And then for us to leave here at the end of the week and go forward and labor together, building the brotherhood as a spiritual refuge for us all. You know, all of us are human and fleshly, and I believe that God has given us a natural need for a refuge or a sanctuary on the physical, on the mortal level. All of us find sources for this need for security. You know, as children, when we're young children and we're hurt and we're in trouble, we quickly run home to our house, into our arms of a loving mother or father to comfort us. You know, and as we grow into teens, we have a need for security, and we often find it either in our brothers and sisters or our friends, our peers around us. But as we get older, all of us still need a place where we can call home. You know, a place, we get a lot of security from our homes, and any of us who have ever moved realize how much security we get from just the surroundings, the surroundings, our environment, the place where we call home. And if you move and you take that away, you often feel very insecure. Our homes become sort of a natural sanctuary. It's a non-threatening environment. There's an inherent need for humans to need to join clubs. And clubs can become a sanctuary. They can be a safe haven of like-minded people. And sanctuaries are often formed by like-minded individuals who can meet very seldom or can meet very frequently. But what they share is they share values, the same interests. And they're people who love and trust and respect each other and have a common cause. And there's many examples around us of clubs, of tribes, of community organizations, many churches throughout the country. But a sanctuary is not really a physical safe haven like a fort would be, but it's a state of consciousness, if you will. It's an environment that surrounds us, that recharges us. It's a place that beckons to us and calls and draws us there, and the thought of a visit to that sanctuary is greatly anticipated. And the sanctuary, it renews our soul, it refreshes us, it gets us excited, it gives us energy. And we know we can associate a sanctuary with a physical building or a place, you know, whether it be our home, it could be a club, it could be a Bible school such as this. But it is not just a physical location. It's a mindset, it's an attitude. It's a natural human need to have a sanctuary. And everybody we know, I believe, finds their own sanctuary, whether it be their home, a workshop, a garden, a study where they go to retreat from, a club, a favorite restaurant, maybe even their car. But we all find a refuge from the storm somewhere to get recharged and somewhere to get refocused and somewhere to get strengthened and to get our mind in order and to face the hustle and bustle of everyday life. But I don't know if you've ever thought of it this way, but we, as children of God, as believers, as followers of Christ, we have a need for a sanctuary above and beyond the need of the natural world. We not only have our physical and natural needs, but we are not just physical beings, we are spiritual beings. All of us who are children of God are spiritual beings. You know, we take on a task throughout our lives of putting off the old man and taking on the new man. Our lives are dedicated to taking on the mind and the character and the spirit of Christ. And then this quest we have special needs. We have a need for a spiritual sanctuary. You know, we wrestle with spiritual pressures and temptations and spiritual discomfort, lapses in faith, disillusionment. And we can, all of us, I'm sure, can feel at times like David did, where we're surrounded by lions that are attacking us. We have a need to commune with God, and we have a need to be close to the source of our strength, a spiritual source of nourishment, a source of the vine where we gather our nourishment, the source of our nourishment being Christ, the need for a spiritual sanctuary. And you can think of it as a place, a place under the wings of God where we are protected from the storm. We get some temporary relief from the storm, or at least until the storm is passed. And a place where we can be spiritually supported and accepted and strengthened and re-energized, where we don't have any enemies, and where our faults are accepted and understood, as well as our strengths are accepted and appreciated. A place where we can eat and drink spiritual food and nourishment. In a place that builds us up spiritually, not one that tears us down or threatens us or drives us away. And it's not a place where we go to out of duty. It's a place where we love to go, a place where we desire to go. We can't wait to go to serve that spiritual thirst that we have as spiritual beings. You know, two great examples of people in scriptures who really displayed the need for a spiritual sanctuary. We have David and Jesus. Psalm 61, you don't have to turn to this. David says, he expresses it very well. He says, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will be able to abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings." And we see David at examples in his life, like when he's fleeing from Saul and feels like he has no friends and his life is in jeopardy. Where does he end up going to for a sanctuary? We see him naturally gravitating. He went to the priest, and we remember the story of when he ate the showbread. And we also see Jesus, if we take a look at his life. He seemed to naturally gravitate to the temple in Jerusalem. But he seemed to find only frustration there. And he found it a place of confrontation, where he went and would have loved and desired it to be a dwelling place of God for him to find refuge and strength and sanctuary. You know, Jesus of all people had this need for a spiritual sanctuary, and he found it in other ways rather than being at the temple in Jerusalem. You know, we see him going off up into the mountains alone or into the wilderness to commune with his Father and to get strength. But he also seemed to get great comfort by being alone with his 12 apostles. The Last Supper is no doubt a great example of this, when Jesus was under great stress knowing what was ahead. He desires to be with his 12 beloved. And we can see him getting strength from them, even though they didn't quite understand what he was about to face. And we also have images of Jesus with his apostles, with John laying on with his head on the breast of Jesus. And we can just see that as a source of strength from his brethren there, from his beloved, a place where he gained strength, along with the way he communed with his Father in heaven. So God is our Creator. God knows our needs. And he provides for our needs, and he offers us a sanctuary. We see that throughout all time, he has done that. You know, under the Mosaic Law, one of the first things that they did was set up cities of refuge for those who committed manslaughter. He mercifully provided refuge for those people from their avengers in these cities of refuge. And for the children of Israel at the time of Moses, We say that he provided a sanctuary for them. Well, the tabernacle is referred to time and time again as a sanctuary. The tabernacle, set in the midst of the camp of the children of Israel, it was their spiritual sanctuary. And the question we have when we think about that, at least it comes to my mind, was this a sanctuary for God, or was it a sanctuary for the children of Israel? Well, we're told in Exodus 25, verse 8, and the instructions from God, he says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The tabernacle in time of Jesus, in the time of Moses that was provided, it was a place where heaven and earth could meet, could come together. And it's a place where God could dwell with man, in a place where God spoke to man from the mercy seat. And it's a place where man, they could look upon, and they could be spiritually regenerated. A place where they could sacrifice, and they could see hope in the sacrifices, and they could see salvation, and they could get from this tabernacle in the midst of them. They look to it and they get a sense of security, a sense of comfort and strength, a source of teaching, a place of worship, a place where they could find God, find their Creator. And so God mercifully fulfilled the need for these children of Israel as they left their homes in Egypt and they were out abandoned in the wilderness. He had a sanctuary for them, a place where God could dwell among them. Well, today, God has mercifully provided us with a spiritual sanctuary. He has provided refuge for us in Christ, a place in Christ for us to find great comfort. In Isaiah, when it prophesies about Jesus, he says, you know, Isaiah 8, verse 14, a verse that we all know well, it says, "He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." You know, I think we all are aware that Jesus came and he was a stone of stumbling to the children of Israel. We remember that part. But he also came to be a sanctuary, a dwelling place of God, that God may dwell among us. And by extension, we are children of God. We are brothers and sisters of Christ, brothers and sisters of Christ in whom God, in whom Christ dwells and has provided the brotherhood as a spiritual refuge for us. Our brotherhood, our ecclesias, a dwelling place is not a physical place, but it's a spiritual place, a place where God can dwell with us and dwell in us. A place where we can interact together. A place where heaven and earth can meet. And a place where heavenly ways are manifested in our fleshly bodies. And we can join together. And when we join together, we can truly worship God. Not just go through the motions of a ritual of worshiping God, but meet God with our minds. Meet God with the behavior and the spirit and the attitude and the mindset that we display one to another. It's a brotherhood. It's a place where we can learn about God, a place where we can grow and develop in faith and in pleasing in Him, and a place where we can dwell in the brotherhood to recharge, to regenerate, a spiritual home for us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3, the chapter that we read. The chapter, again, is very, very eloquent and describes far better than I could possibly this concept of building a sanctuary, building a temple, building the brotherhood. Just looking at a couple of quick verses to pull the point out here. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we read, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." We are God's building. Jump down to verse 16. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" And then over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, we read here, "We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens." And then again, the same concept again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. A beautiful verse that describes this concept that I'm talking about. "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." We are a building. We become not a physical building, a spiritual building, in which we become a habitation of God through the Spirit. God dwells in us, in the brotherhood. This is a very clear and common analogy that we see throughout Scripture, that we, as brothers and sisters of Christ, we form a spiritual building. And God's Spirit must dwell in us for us to be a sanctuary, a dwelling place for God. And as he dwells in each of us individually, and we join together, we form this building, a tabernacle, a temple fitly framed together, a household of God. Christ is our head. He's also the cornerstone of this building. And we get our strength. As a building gets its strength from the cornerstone, we get our strength from our cornerstone. As you build a building, you get the direction of which way the walls go from the cornerstone and the foundation. We become a spiritual sanctuary for each other, and God's Spirit dwells in us and among us. So if we truly build a house of God, and not a house of man, just with Christ's nameplate on it, but a house of God, we can form a spiritual refuge for God's children, for each other. We can build a sanctuary. And when we have the need to run back home to be comforted, a need for us to go under the wings of the Father, that we should be able to run to our brothers and sisters for that love, that support, that strength, that comfort, that security that comes from a sanctuary. For we are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Ye are God's building. So David yearned with all his heart to build such a building, to build a temple. But God denied him that privilege because he was a man of blood. But we have a great privilege, because I believe that we are called as laborers together to continue to build this sanctuary, to continue to build the brotherhood. So how do we do it? How do we go and build the brotherhood? I mean, this is an abstract concept. I mean, our first inclination may be for us to go to grab an ecclesial guide, or we can look to advice of how to do this from a committee or from a magazine or a publication, or to look at tradition. And all these things can provide some useful direction and some help. And it can save rethinking things again, and we can learn off what others have already experienced. But I propose to you, if this is our first inclination, this is wrong. We must first look to our author and finisher, to God, for the blueprints of how to build this building. In 1 Corinthians 3 that we read, we see that we have a choice of what, we have great free will of what we can build on this foundation. We can choose what we put on that foundation and where we put it. It's up to us. But we have to go and first look at the blueprints. The cornerstone already shows us the elevation and the type of materials to use and the orientation of the building. The foundation dictates what the structure is going to look like. So as Christ is our cornerstone, we must look to Christ to see what to build on this foundation. Christ spent his life serving sinners. He spent his life being one with his Father. He spent his life reaching out to others, reaching out to the lost sheep of the of the children of Israel, reaching out to the poor, reaching out to the sick, and trying to bring them to God. The character of the sanctuary that we build on this foundation has to be Christ's character and his Spirit. We have to remember that the brotherhood is a spiritual dwelling place. It's not a political organization. It's not an institution. It's not a club. It's not a place, a physical place. It's not a committee. All these things don't create a spiritual sanctuary for a refuge and a dwelling place for God. Only the direction we get from our head, from Christ, from our cornerstone, from the blueprints of the cornerstone and the foundation, are what builds a dwelling place for God. So the question is, how do we know if God is in this sanctuary that we are building? If it's a dwelling place for God? Well, I think if you turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, we have the answer. And I think this is an important question, because we see in 1 Corinthians 3 that we can make mistakes in what we build on this foundation. We can make some terrible mistakes. But how do we know if we're building this right so that God can dwell amongst us and we can have a spiritual sanctuary? Well, we're answered in 1 John chapter 4. Looking at verse 10, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." So we know God is dwelling in us if we love one another. We see love of each other is a critical element. Verse 13, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit." So having his Spirit among us is a critical element. And then down in verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." So for God to dwell in us, everything we do must truly be done in love for each other. Only the building up of each other is an activity to be done, not the tearing down. Putting the welfare of each other first, putting the welfare of each other above rules and procedures and precedent. Only loving forgiveness of the shortfalls of each other. Only acceptance of each other and encouragement, never rejection. Celebrating each other's successes, mourning each other's losses, and helping each other through trials, teaching each other the way of our Lord, respecting each other for who we are, and fully understanding that we're all interdependent, not dependent or or independent. We are interdependent, dependent on one another. We're all different parts of the body of Christ, and we all need each other. So for God to dwell in us, you know, we must provide a haven from the storms in each other's lives. We must have be a comfort for each other, patience with each other. We can't be envying one another, nor promoting ourselves or vaunting of self or being puffed up, nor seeking personal good for anybody, only good for others, not being easily provoked, thinking no evil of others, and rejoicing only in truth. And you'll notice that these things that I mentioned come from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where if we read it, the description of what love is for each other, and we apply it to the brotherhood, we get the blueprint for what we need to build on this foundation. You know, bearing up each other's burdens and putting up with each other, no matter what, and celebrating hope with each other. For if we know that we dwell in him and him in us, because he has given us his Spirit, then it's a logical conclusion that the fruits of the Spirit should be the measure of our success of building up this spiritual sanctuary. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If we're not producing these fruits, as we wait for our Lord's return, we have a lot of building yet to do. And once we have a sanctuary, a place where God dwells to some degree or another, we also must make sure that not only God can dwell here, but we must also create a building, an atmosphere, so that God's children can dwell there as well. Not just the people that we like, and not just the ones that we want to, but all of God's children are welcome to come to this spiritual sanctuary. And there's no doubt that if we can see our brotherhood as a dwelling place of God, we and all those others who are seeking God will be attracted to it and will come readily to this sanctuary. So how do we know if the sanctuary is a dwelling place of God? Well, if we see our sanctuary as a spiritual organization and not a political one or a physical one, it is if we truly look to Christ as our head. We look to Christ as our guide in all that we do, and that he and his Spirit and his ways take prominence over tradition and over our own thoughts and over precedents and over cultural thinking. The Spirit of Christ takes priority over all rules, tasks in helping others and serving and reaching out to others.
We know it's a spiritual sanctuary if the love for another abounds in our midst, if the focus of our efforts is on the needs of each other, and we can see the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ in our midst and working amongst us. And we can know it's the sanctuary is the dwelling place of God if the fruits of the brotherhood are the fruits of the Spirit. So in conclusion, everybody needs a sanctuary. We of all people on earth, we are spiritual beings and we have the need for a spiritual sanctuary. And many of us are here this week to find such a spiritual sanctuary. So the exhortation today is for us to make this Bible school this week a spiritual sanctuary, meaning that this Bible school truly be a dwelling place of God. And we pray that it is a place where God's Spirit is among us. And we make this week a refuge from the spiritual storms that some of us or all of us encounter. We make this place a place under the wing of the Almighty Father, where we can find comfort and solace and strength, a place free of enemies, a place where everyone's faults as well as our strengths are accepted, and a place that we re-energize each other, a place where we build each other up, a place where heaven meets earth. But my exhortation doesn't stop just at this week. You know, our efforts as laborers should be for us to leave here and to build our brotherhood into a holy temple unto the Lord. Our goal should be to work diligently together to make the benefits of the refuge that we pray for this week to extend all year long and every year throughout the brotherhood until our Lord and Master returns to this earth. And we do it through our ecclesias and through the interaction of our brothers and sisters. So let us be sure to make our brotherhood a sanctuary. Our brotherhood, a dwelling place for God, a place abundant in love, trust, and respect for each other. Let's make our brotherhood only a spiritual organization with Christ as its head, a place for hospitality, for comfort, for help, for port in the storm, a place where there's no barriers, so it can be a place, a sanctuary for all of God's children, a place where we want and love to go for refuge. Not one that tears us down or drives us away or is an endurance contest to put up with or we do out of duty, but a place where we can eat and drink spiritual nourishment. A place to both serve our spiritual needs and to worship God. Our prayer should be that the fruits of our brotherhood are the fruits of the Spirit. So let us bring pleasure and glorify God by taking our blueprints for this figurative building from our chief cornerstone, the man who we have come to remember today and to eat and drink spiritual nourishment from him. May our brotherhood be, as we read in Ephesians 2, verse 20, may our brotherhood be built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit.